There's a certain lady here called Dot who said, next time you come, you're to sing a solo. Well, I'll have a go. I brought it with me. I usually sing without music anyway so that I can set my own speed and tone. And as I didn't know any of your hymns this morning, I learnt some new ones this morning, so I decided to bring one I knew. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't, but I'll have a go. At my age, I shouldn't have a very good voice, but we'll have a go. Down from his glory, ever-living story, my God and Saviour came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my strength, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Saviour, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight. God gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, and save my soul. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my strength, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Without reluctance, flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed God's hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. For now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my strength, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator. Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. It's amazing, because a lot of your hymns this morning was about a Creator. And we have a Creator here who became my Savior. That's absolutely marvelous, wonderful, exciting, isn't it? That great Creator who said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, who said, and it was done, is my Savior. Doesn't that excite you? Well, come on then, let's have a few smiles. I'm always saying that, aren't I? But anyway, thank you very much for inviting me here again this morning. I always look forward to coming here, because this was the place of my conversion and my baptism, down under there somewhere. And it was also the place of Dorothy and Rosemary's conversion and my father's conversion and baptism here in this hall. So it's tremendous to be here ministering God's word again this morning. I was going to speak from Malachi, but that's been changed because of the tenor of the meeting this morning. Eh? You want Malachi? All right. We'll have Malachi. You'll find some lovely truths in that book. I won't read the whole of the chapter. It's chapter 3 of Malachi. And I apologise to those who have modern versions, because I'm still old-fashioned and I stick with the Authorised. So I make no apologies for that. And also this fits with something somebody read this morning. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then we're going over from there to verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So right at the very beginning of this chapter, excuse me, I've got some notes, as I'm getting old and decrepit and I need some notes sometimes. I don't look at them often. But here in the beginning of this chapter 3 of Malachi, we read these words, "Behold, I will send my messenger." Who was this messenger? John the Baptist. Thank you, Trudy. John the Baptist. And we read a scripture, didn't we, this morning, about John coming to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the pathways. John preached, but he didn't preach, as we know, a gospel of grace. He preached the repentance of sin. So many people today in so many different churches of this country, you know, don't even have this. They don't. How can you have a church without a Bible? But they don't have this. All they read things about the environment. They'll mention things about endangered animals or about the change in the climate. But they don't preach the gospel. And what did our Lord Jesus Christ say to his disciples before he ascended into heaven? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing the nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." A lot of churches don't believe in that anymore. In fact, one man, and I'll mention his name, Reverend Steve Chalk, accused God of abusing his Son on the cross of Calvary. What a terrible condemnation on that man for accusing God of abuse. Jesus Christ, as Trevor aptly put it this morning, Jesus Christ came into the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Was that abuse? No. That was the acceptation of God's will. And Trevor mentioned the fact that if we don't obey God's will, things start going wrong. And that's true, isn't it? I found to my cost that sometimes I haven't obeyed God's will and things have started to go wrong. But we won't go into that at the moment. "Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me." And whenever preachers stand up and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that crucified Lord, what are they doing? They're preparing the way for others to come to know Christ as their Saviour. "This is the way, walk ye in it." There are two gates. One is a broad gate and the other one is a narrow gate. Millions go down that broad gate. And where are they going? They're going to hell. I was asked by a church to go and preach the gospel at their church. But please, please, in the letter, do not mention hell or the second coming. What a strange church. Well, I'll tell you this. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And if you're not a Christian, you're not waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. And I don't believe it'll be long. I believe that we're living in the last days. But here was one who was to come before the Lord to prepare the way of the Lord. In fact, John said, "There comes one after me whose even the latchet of his shoe I'm not worthy to undo." What a humble man John was. And you know, in America, in many of the big, massive, great churches which have congregations of 2,000 or 3,000 people, the preachers there preach that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll make you very rich. He'll give you a new car. I'm quite happy with the one I've got, Lord. He'll make you rich. He's already made me rich with his grace and his righteousness. I don't need the money. What do I need money for? I'd only give it away. One man was asked in our local paper, a question was asked him, if you had £1,000,000, what would you do with it? He said, I'd give it all away to people in Africa. What a wonderful statement to make. And this was a man who wasn't a Christian. But my goodness me, what a wonderful statement. What would you do if you had £1,000,000 given to you? I'm not going to ask you to stand up and tell me, because I think I know what your answer would be. But you know, God is offering you the greatest gift that he can. And that's salvation through a crucified Lord. And that's the greatest gift that any person can have in this world. A faith and a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we can rely on. As that dear lady told us in her testimony, he is a God that we can rely on. I prayed for healing for my cancer on my face, and God didn't heal it. Or did he? He gave the skills to the surgeons, and they removed it, and there's nothing there now. As I said in one church, I'm now as beautiful as I ever was. And I wasn't beautiful then. But Muriel tells me I am. So that's the eyes of my dear wife. But it's wonderful, isn't it? And do you know the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Wow, my feet are beautiful. Not just my face. Isn't that fantastic? But here we have a preparation being made for the way of the Lord. And then the question is asked, but who may abide the day of his coming? If you look at Matthew's Gospel in the first few chapters of Matthew's Gospel, you will see that it says there, he came unto his own and his own received him not. How terrible is that? I don't know you all in this church. I don't know whether all of you are actually believers in the Lord. I don't know where you stand in regard to salvation. But I tell you this, that my Bible tells me that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you must make your choice. I was preaching at a youth rally in Southampton many, many years ago, and the above bar church in Southampton, and their church was packed with young people. And as I preached the gospel, I told them that today is the day you must make your choice to serve the Lord. And afterwards, a young man, aged about 19, 20, came up to me and he said, what a load of rubbish you spoke tonight, he said. Today's the day I make my choice. I made my choice, he said, I'm going to hell. That young man got on his motorbike, never reached home. He had a terrible smash and was killed. He made the statement, and God took his life. It's like the rich man, isn't it? who had so many worldly goods that he built greater barns and greater places to store them all in, and then said, "Now, soul, you can take your rest or take your ease." And God said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be desired of thee." And whose will all that stuff be? That's the seriousness of accepting Christ as your Saviour. It's serious. It's not something to be laughed at. It's not something to be rejected out of hand. Christ is coming. But you know, there's a wonderful scripture over here in verse 13. It says, "Your words have been stout against me. You've denied me. You've said I don't exist. I'm not to be believed. I'm not to be served." This is the people of Israel were saying this to God, and God had chosen them for his own people. He'd made covenants with them, hadn't he? He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with David. He made a covenant with Solomon. He made a covenant with Moses. And they rejected him. They said, "We don't want this man to reign over us. Crucify him. We don't want him." How sad. Is that what you're saying in your heart of hearts? Crucify him. I'm not interested. I'm only here today because my mum and dad used to come here. I'm only here today because I feel it's the right thing to do on a Sunday, to go to a church and to listen to the preacher even though I don't agree with him. Wake up! Jesus loves you. He loves you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to take him as your Saviour, as your friend. It's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Earlier on in this chapter, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." You've robbed me. How have we robbed you, Lord? You've robbed me of all the tithes. You've robbed me of your love. You've robbed me of what I'm worth, really. You've rejected me. You won't accept me. And yet, look. Look at verse 16. "Then they that feared the Lord, that stood in awe of him, spoke often one to another." How often do you as Christians speak to one another out there? Out there. Not just in here, but out there. Do you often speak to one another? Do you know the wonderful thing is that when we speak to one another as Christians, we're discussing the Lord and all that he's done for us during that week or that daytime. And what's the Lord doing? He's not idle. He's got a book and he's writing in that book everything you say. Isn't that fantastic? That my God writes down everything I say about him. The conversations I have about him. The thoughts I have, even our thoughts, he writes them down in his book of remembrance. And he can open that book and, oh look, here. I nearly said Reg. Wally. I go by two names, I've got an alias. But Wally was at List that day and he preached the gospel. That's all written down in my book. Isn't that fantastic? Not only that, when we weep, which we ought to, when I saw what that cyclone had done to the Philippines, I wept. When I saw the horrors of the concentration camps and the war, I wept. And those tears God puts in bottles. I wonder how many bottles we've got stacked up on the shelves with our names on. But not only that, even more wonderful is the fact that in Revelations, it tells us that God has our prayers in vials in heaven. God, I think he's a wonderful God to us. He collects our words, he collects our thoughts, he collects our tears, and he collects our prayers. What a wonderful collection. Isn't that? It's great. It's wonderful. I'm over the moon about it. Aren't you? Wow. What a wonderful God we got. He's tremendous. And he says that to those that feared the Lord and thought upon his name, the book of remembrance is written. And the word feared, the feared the Lord, I always replace it with those that stand in awe of the Lord. Fear to me means I'm afraid of him. But I'm not afraid of him. And why am I not afraid of him? Because Jesus is my Saviour. I've nothing to be afraid of. That's the most wonderful thing about it. To stand in awe of God. Not to be afraid of him. And then he says something else, which I think is wonderful. Muriel was in tears over it this morning. When he makes up his jewels. In Sankey's hymn book, there's a lovely hymn that says, when he cometh to make up his jewels, precious jewels. That's us. What sort of jewel would you like to be? Does it really matter? We're his jewels. Never ever thought I'd be a jewel. Something precious. Did you? I'm precious to the Lord. Oh, how wonderful that is. Those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and your friend, you're precious. You're precious. He's bought you with a price. He went to Calvary's cross and he paid for your sins with his own life, with his own blood. That's how precious you are, and I am. We don't have a Saviour who's dead. But Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. You've caught on. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah indeed. Jesus is alive. How wonderful that is. That we serve a living Saviour. One who is alive and alive forevermore. And one day we're going to be with him. There's another hymn in Sankey's that I don't agree with. Now, that's strange. We shall meet him in on a bright and cloudless morning. Sorry, no cloudless morning, because Paul tells us in Thessalonians that we're going to meet him in the clouds in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wow, you're waiting for that time to come. I am. Wow, I'm certainly waiting for the coming of the Lord. I wrote down some of the things here. They should be mine. You see, all the children of men are either for the Lord or against the Lord. There's no sitting on the fence. Always remember when I was at school, we had a little joke about the mugwump bird. You heard about the mugwump bird? He used to sit on the fence with his mug on one side and his bump on the other. But you can't be like that with God. You're either for him or you're against him. There's no in between. You can't serve God and mammon. You can either serve God or not. And that's a serious business. If you serve him in here, then you've got to serve him out there. Amongst the people out there in Liss Forest or Liss or Gretham. You've got to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them God loves them. Tell them Christ died for them. There used to be loads of stickers years ago in the days of the Flower Power people. They used to be stuck on telegraph poles. They used to be stuck on post boxes all over the place. And they had a smiley face on them. And the words were, Jesus loves you. Smile, Jesus loves you. Well, come on then, smile. Jesus loves you. Isn't that wonderful? I used to stick them up. Mind you, I shouldn't have done, but there we are. And also, the Lord's coming is just around the corner. I believe that we're living in the last days. Because the Lord said in Matthew's Gospel that in the last days there would be wars, rumours of wars, nations should rise up against nation. There would be earthquakes in all sorts of different places. There would be eruptions. There would be storms, unimaginable storms. There'd be all sorts of things happening in the last days. And look at our world today. Tsunamis striking in all directions. Cyclones mightier than have ever been known before. Look at Central America in Illinois and two other states. Six very, very powerful tornadoes ripped through Tornado Valley there. And not a house was left standing. Awful. In Sardinia, cyclone hit Sardinia. Never been known before. A cyclone in the Mediterranean. Never been known before. And what a terrible state they're in, with bridges washed away, houses washed away. And look at the wars in Syria, in Egypt, in Tunisia, in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In Uganda, even in Bosnia still. We've still got British troops in Bosnia. We've got British troops in Sierra Leone. We've got them in Kenya. We've still got them in the Falklands because of the threat from Argentina. They're all over the place. We're living in the last days, dear friends. And Jesus will be here soon. But will you be prepared to meet him in the clouds, in the air? If you're not, then I suggest you get prepared today and that you take him as your saviour and your friend. Time's getting on. It's always getting on with me anyway. Revelations. Let's turn to Revelations. Revelations chapter 21. Verses 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, that was John, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And when he says he means men and women, because mankind includes everyone. So we got some women's lib here today. Don't worry. It means you. That's great, isn't it? And then we turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse 20 and 21. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus is coming. He's coming to take us to be with himself, that where he is, there we may be also. So as we think of these things, as we think of the terrible things that's happening in the world today, we can rest assured that as the last words that Dorothy ever spoke, we can rely upon, I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. Is that where you are today? Do you know that safety? Do you know the wonder of his love, of his salvation, of his forgiveness? If you don't, I plead with you now. Oh, please take him. Please take him. He loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you. He needs you. May the Lord bless each one of you for his name's sake. Amen.